this is a good time for us over the next couple of weeks. I want to talk about the church. A lot of churches will say, like, they'll use this week and the next couple of weeks to talk about, hey, look at all we've done. You know, pat ourselves on the back and say, look at 3 Point. We've done this and this and this, and aren't we a great church? And here's our vision for the future. And I don't want to do that. I want to talk about the church that Jesus built. And so that's what I want to talk about. When Jesus was born, and we just celebrated his birth in the manger, he was called the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but he was also called the Prince of Peace. And we talk about that time of year where it's a time where family gets together. It's a time where people just hang out, and people are excited to be with one another, maybe more so than they are the rest of the time, you know. It's when we're a little bit nicer to our relatives that we don't like the rest of the year, kind of thing. But is that what it's really all about? You know, we celebrate this baby that was born, but he was much more than that. He grew to be a man. He learned, you know, at 12 years old, he was amazing people in the temple with his teaching. And as he began his life, he talked about the kingdom of God. He performed miracles. He brought healing. He did things that drew people around him. He had some tough things to say. There was a point where he says, you're going to have to do this and do this. And it says many of his disciples at that point just turned away. He said, this is too hard. And he lived his life to show us what the kingdom of God is like, to bring us in reconciliation with God himself. Oh, he was rejected. He found himself crucified and killed, but he was never, ever defeated. And so as he spent this time on the earth and he lived his life and he taught and he healed and he showed us what God was like in the flesh, then he died, but he was raised from the dead. And then he spent another 40 days after that teaching, walking on the earth. And so you would think during those 40 days, whatever he had to say was going to be pretty important. You think maybe the very last thing that Jesus said before he went back and ascended back up into heaven would be important, right? Well, let's look at what Jesus said. The last thing Jesus said, and I'm going to be in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. It says this, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" Now this is, remember, he's been crucified, dead, he was buried, he was raised from the dead, he comes back, he's walking with his disciples and with his followers for these 40 days, and they ask him, "Hey, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" See, they were looking for this, this earthly kingdom, right? Well, this is what he says. "Jesus said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Now, this is important. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. In other words, you're going to be my witnesses right here in the Morrow, Jonesboro area, okay? And then he says in Judea. What, okay, we're going to talk about like Georgia, okay? And then Samaria. Whoa, wait a minute. Samaria? Why does a Jew want to go to Samaria? Those are half-breeds. We don't even like them people, you know? Like, no, 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 you're going to do that. But then he says this, "and to the ends of the earth." Now, that's the last thing Jesus said, because listen, "and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes," and theologians say these are probably angels. "They said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" Here's what Jesus says, "Wait, and you will receive power by the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Mic drop, gone. So you would think the very last thing that Jesus said is going to be important. That we, as his followers, as his believers, as his disciples, we will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So how are we doing? Because that's called the church. So what is the church that Jesus built? Here's what we have to understand. When Three Point came together, we came up with a vision statement that said, we will love God. We will love God with everything that's in us. We will love God, we will love others, and we will make disciples. That's the great commandment, love God and more than anything, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And then we are to make disciples. We are to be witnesses. We are to teach, to baptize, to do all these things that the church does to raise up disciples. And it's not something that is something that we sat down and said, hey, what would be a kind of a cool mission statement? You know, it wasn't that at all. It's an unstoppable vision and mission because this is what Jesus said. Love God, love others, and then make disciples. Be my witness. It's an unstoppable mission and vision that we have been invited to take part in. Why did we do this? We do it to see people come to Christ. We do this to see a person maybe tithe for the very first time in their life and not give out of fear or out of anything except for gratitude for what God has done. We do it just because we want to see lives changed. We want to see marriages put back together. We want to see people walking away from addictions and habits. And we want to see people give their life to Christ, not only in our church and in our community, but in Poland and Russia and in the Czech Republic and Ecuador and Peru and everywhere around the world. We want to see that happen. So what does that take? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to be the church of Christ? There are a lot of people, Sandra and I were talking about this. She was reading a book, I was reading a book, and it was like, man, we started talking about what the book was saying, and it's like the same thing. What is the church? Do you realize we are called the body of Christ? Okay, so when we don't show up, We're not saying like, hey, Paul, we don't like your preaching. We're telling God, hey, we don't want to be part of the body of Christ. That puts a whole different spin on it. When we say like, okay, we have an opportunity to do this, and we say, nah, just that's out of my comfort zone. You're not saying anything to me or to Sandra or to Steve or to Tony or to anybody. You're saying that to Jesus. Jesus says, as you have done this for the least of my people, you've done this to me. So if you ignore the other people in the body of Christ, you're basically saying you don't matter. You don't matter. Wow. That's pretty harsh. Well, this is what Jesus says. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark is a short gospel, but it's filled with some hard sayings. Listen to what he says in Mark. Jesus is hanging out with a group of people, and some of his disciples were there. And then he says to the crowd, this is what he says in Mark 8, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must what? You got to deny yourself. This is what I want, so I'm going to do it. This is what I need. This is what I'm going to do. You have to deny yourself and do what? Take up your cross and follow him. They knew what taking up the cross meant. The Romans had created this idea of, man, if we could beat somebody, rip their back wide open, then make them carry this long, heavy beam, and they would have to walk in front of all of their peers, we would put fear in those people. Then we would nail them with these spikes, and then we would raise them up. And then Nero even got crazier. Once he raised them up, he goes, hey, we got a whole bunch of them. Watch this. He poured oil on him, lit them, and used them as a light. So when Jesus says, you got to take up your cross and follow me, he's saying, you know what? This is hard. You're going to be despised. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be persecuted. You know what? You're going to have to do that if you want to be my disciple. He's asking us to deny ourselves and to take his cross into our community. Well, I don't really want to say anything because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to stand up for what the Bible says is truth because, you know what, what's true for me may not be true for them. So I don't want to say, you know what, it's God's truth. This book is filled not with what I think, not with what I said, not what I came up with. This is God's word. And if God's word says this, God didn't create this confusion where, well, you can interpret that verse 100 different ways. No, you can't. Because if you could, then the Bible is false. there is a truth, and it's God's truth. And we are to take that cross into the community. We're to take Christ into our work, into our homes, on our dates, into our living room, into the music that we listen to the television that we watch. We need to take Christ with us every single place we go. There's a church in the book of Acts, and these guys raised the bar of what it meant to be a church. They said, you know what, we are going to be fully devoted to Christ. We're going to do what he asks us to do. We're going to be obedient, even when it's not comfortable. We're going to follow him and do whatever he asks us to do. And I want to show you what they did. This is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. They devoted themselves, this is the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's talk about this for just a moment, that church in the book of Acts. They were on the same page. In other words, we're going to follow what Jesus says. Now, some people will use this saying like, you know, hey, give more money. You know, we all got to give money. You know, it takes money to run a ministry. That's not what it's saying at all. It's we have the same vision. What is that vision? That we are to draw people unto Christ. And as the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in their life, then their lives are changed. And as their lives are changed, they become part of the body of Christ. In other words, we're all together. You know, when we talk about family, this is our family. This is our family. Now, I know some people in your family and some people in my family we don't like all that much. You know, there's some of you I don't even like, but that's okay. We're still family, and we do things for each other. We support each other. We love each other. And when it's talking about this, it's not talking about this communist idea where, look, I'm going to work, you're going to work, and then we're going to give all our money away to somebody else. It's not talking about it at all. It's talking about believers. It's talking about taking care of the body of Christ, that we are to take care of each other here. You know, there was a time when Jesus was sitting there teaching, and they said, hey, teacher, your family's here. Your mother and your family's here. And he goes, who is my mother and family? These who are gathering, these who follow me, those who listen to my words, that is my family. This is your family. Okay, everybody getting that so far? Am I going too fast? All right, well, good. We got a long way to go. I'm just kidding. The Spirit of God went through that church like a wildfire, and they went beyond this partial commitment, like, hey, I'm just going to show up one time a week, or they met daily. Do you realize that? They didn't come to like a church building. You know, the church is not the building. Remember that here's the church, here's the steeple, open door, there's no people. Here's the church, here's the steeple, open door, look at all the people. That's the church, the people. This building is not the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And so if you're meeting in a small group somewhere, if you're just getting together with one another, you are fellowshipping with one another with the body of Christ. And when you do, there should be rejoicing and worship and just gladness to be with each other. They went beyond their comfortable lifestyles and the way they used to do life. And God used this church to literally change and transform the world. Thousands of years later, the church is still thriving. And I pray that God will use Three Point as one of those churches that will transform people's lives. You hear that the church is truly more than a building, it's the people, it's the body of Christ. So what does that mean for us here at Three Point? Well, we have a vision for Three Point where we want to be a church where everyone is welcome. Now you come in. Okay? Everybody has baggage. Everybody has problems. Everybody has things on their mind, but you are welcome. This is what Revelation 22 says. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. In other words, we're not going to shut the door and say, you're not welcome. We're going to say, you're welcome. Here's what I want you to know, that Jesus stands before you today and he's saying, you're welcome. I'm welcome. It doesn't matter the hurt, the pain, the questions that you have. Three Point is going to be a place where everyone is welcome. Now, you come from a different religious background. That's okay. You're welcome. You're struggling with an addiction and your life is a mess. You know what? You're welcome. You're welcome with your doubts, your questions, your fears, your poor decisions, your pain, your hurt, your addictions, even your agnosticism. You know, Paul, I'm not sure I believe everything that's in there. That's okay. Come. You're welcome. In fact, I mean, I look at Ashton. Even if you are a Florida fan, you are welcome. Okay? God doesn't discriminate that way. Everyone is welcome. But here's the role that you play when someone comes in the door. We don't say, well, I don't know who that is, and then we walk away. It's important when you shake a hand, when you hug somebody's neck, when you invest and invite people, your neighbor, your coworker, your friends, your family, people that don't know Jesus, people that don't have a church home, people that are hurting. And why do I ask you to do that? Because it's important. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. In other words, you don't have to preach to them. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be a witness of what Christ has done in your life and share that good news. We're good news people. That's the gospel. It means good news. And you're a good newser. Okay? So be a good newser. And we don't do that so more people will come in here and we say, cool, look at our numbers going up. It doesn't have anything to do with numbers. I tell you all the time, if you are not part of a local church body, find one. Because that is the body of Christ. If it's 3 Point, we're glad you're here. If it's some other church, go. But be in a church. It's the fellowship of believers. As we get together, we are the body of Christ and we celebrate Jesus. And we will see God move. We will see him work. I think of the story. I think Sandra did a play on this one time. She was the woman at the well, and she was talking about all her different husbands and things and how Jesus spoke to her and said, you know, go get your husband. She goes, well, I don't have a husband. He goes, you're right. You've had 5 of them, and the one you're living with now is not even, you're not even married to. And he knew everything about her, but this is what it says in John chapter 4. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. She was probably one of the first evangelists to go and spread the good news of, man, this man knows all about me. He didn't judge me, and I want you to meet this guy. And that's what we do. We don't judge somebody. What we do is we bring them into a relationship with Christ. So number one is we are going to be a church where everyone is welcome. Number two, we are a church where everyone is needed. Everyone is needed. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us this, that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. God has given us gifts and talents that are to be used for him to see lives change. Every one of you that are sitting here right now has been given a gift or a talent, and I want you to know that if you're not using it, there are things here at 3 Point that are not getting done. We hear in the church circles all the time there's like an 80-20 rule where 20% of the people do 80% of the work and 80% of the people just don't. In our church, we find out it's more like a 90-10 rule, you know. Or actually, Dave and Steve do all the work, and we all just kind of sit back and go, hey, Dave, Steve, thank you. Not really, but it's important that we all get involved. And we all are about bringing the kingdom here in this place. Every single act of kindness makes a difference. Every handshake makes a difference. Every card that you write makes a difference. Paul says this in Corinthians, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. In other words, if we are the body of Christ, we all have different talents. We all have different gifts. We all fit into the puzzle in a different place. And if you're not involved in the body here, then there's a piece of our puzzle that's missing. And nothing is more frustrating than putting a puzzle together and there's one piece missing. You know what I'm talking about? You guys ever do puzzles? Sandra and Steve do puzzles all the time, and I purposely take one piece and hide it. Steve will climb a wall to find that piece. He's looking under the table and everything. So the idea is we are a family, that we're a body. And when God looks at us, he sees his body. He sees his family. Some of you are the head. Some of you are the hands. Some of you are the feet. Some of you are the knees. Some people think oftentimes I'm the rear end, but I'll tell you what, you got to have that too. We're all important in the body of Christ. We're all important, and it takes all of us to function as a healthy church. And I want you to know this, and I want you to hear this from my heart. We need you, every one of you. We need you. God has given each one of you gifts. And I want to ask you before you leave today that you pray to God about this and say, God, where is it that I fit in? What is my gift? Maybe you would say, God, you know what? I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to serve. I'm going to use the gifts that you've given to me. I'm going to make a difference, not only here in the church, but in this community. I'm going to make a difference in the kingdom because we want to be a church where everyone is needed. And also, the last thing, we want to be a church where everyone is changed. Everyone is changed. Romans 10:13 says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone is welcome. Don't get us wrong. But if the love of Christ is in us so much, it's got to transform us. It's got to change us. In other words, we don't come in and do Christ a favor by saying, hey, I'll follow you, okay? But I'm going to do it my way. No, we are transformed. We are changed. We are different because Christ loved us so much, and that's infectious. And as we get together with the body of Christ, we become different ourselves and we are changed. When we come in on Sundays, we all come in with baggage. We all come in with pain. We have a story. We have a hurt. We have addictions. We have our secrets. And what this verse is saying, when you come in here, you can come as you are, but if you truly call on the name of the Lord, you will leave different. You will be changed. You will be saved. You will have a fresh start, and no better time to think about that is when we enter a new year. You know, 2019 is behind us. 2020 is ahead. You'll make all these New Year's resolutions. I say make them New Year's revolutions. I am going to change. I'm going to be transformed by the power of Christ in my life. And it can happen today. 1 Samuel says this, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will be changed into a different person. Our vision is that everyone would be changed. And when we connect with God, when we pray, when we meet in a small group, when we meet in a prayer meeting, when we make a commitment to serve, when we do that as a church, the Spirit of God's power is going to come upon us, and we are going to be changed, and so are the people that we impact. And here's the exciting news. God wants to use us to do it. He wants to use us to do it. Do you realize you are a kingdom builder? That people, I think it was C.S. Lewis that says that 90% of the people, well, 10% of the people will read the word and be changed. 90% will read the Christian, and that's the word that they see. So will they be changed? Will they be different by when they see our lives? Will they want to be a part of what we're a part of? Will they want to understand what it means to be a Christ follower, to take up our cross, and to be excited about it? Three Point is going to be a church that welcomes people. Three Point is going to be a place where everyone is needed. Y'all, we need you. And Three Point is going to be a place where everyone is changed because, not because of what I do, not because of what anybody does, but because of what God does through us. And to me, that is exciting. So will you give yourself to God's mission? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we enter into this new year, Father, I pray that you would make us a new us, a new you, that we would be different. Father, that your Spirit would be alive in us, that we would be filled with your Holy Spirit and filled with power. And Father, we wouldn't just preach and teach. Father, we would just be a witness to what Jesus is in our life. that as we share the good news of the gospel, we don't do it in a way where we are condemning or judgmental, Father, but we share it in a way that we are just witnesses to what we were and how we're being transformed even today. Father, for our church and for our congregation, I pray that you will continue to use us, that we would be people of power and prayer, and that we would be a people that seek your word. Father, I pray that we would become better worshipers, that we would be people that would just worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, that every moment of our lives would be a testimony to the goodness and grace that we've experienced under you. Oh Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, and we do all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.